Sunday the 8th of October 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Rivers of Love. Sermon title, White Water. Bible reading, Psalm 46, and our talk is by the Reverend Martin Court.
For the director of music of the Sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice to the earth, melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought to the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Victoria.
So I found a joke. I always start with a little joke if I can, just to kind of warm us up into it. And then I thought to myself last night, I think Bob Crowther has told this one. So I hope he hasn't, but we'll find out. So the guy goes to the doctor and he says he's been feeling very ill for several days. The doctor gives him several sets of pills. He instructs the guy. He says, first thing in the morning, he says, I want you to take this green pill with two big glasses of water. And then about an hour later, you've got a white pill to take, just a single large glass of water with that one. The blue pill comes just before lunch, two big glasses of water. And then mid-afternoon, the orange pill, again, plenty of water, and repeat that at dinner in the evening. And then just go before going to bed, take the red pill with a couple of glasses of water, and you'll be fine in no time. And the guy starts thinking about all these pills that he's taking. He says, doctor, he says, what on earth is wrong with me? And the doctor says, oh, he said, there's nothing really. He said, you're dehydrated. We've spoken about water in many ways over these last few weeks, this river of love that flows out from heaven across the world. And yet we've never mentioned, really, its power. Water can be frightening. It can flow so fast that we cannot stand up in it. It can knock over trees, break through rocks, sweep away anything in its path. It can provide enough electricity for a whole town. It is nature's version of Superman. And today we're going to see another side of God, our Heavenly Father, through this powerful river of love. We'll see too why God calls us to live in his word, to meditate on scripture day and night. Because it's only when we slow down, it's only when we've got the scripture open and we begin to read it word for word, that we can actually see what the Bible is telling us. We're in our verse for the year, of course. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And that verse goes on like this. Therefore, we will not fear. And in meditation, when you're sat quietly with the Bible open, you might stop at that word, fear. Why would we fear? And David tells us it's because the earth is giving way. That is what King David is experiencing in his life. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth give way, even though everything that we put our faith and our trust in is falling apart. And in your quiet time, you might think of the earth for a moment, terra firma. Solid, isn't it? That's why we call it terra firma, because it's firm beneath our feet. It's all that we stand on literally in life. Of all the disasters that should happen, surely the ground that we should walk on is safe. No, says King David. For him, the earth is giving way. Mountains are crashing to the ground before his very eyes. And I don't know what's causing that in his life. Why was the earth giving way? Was this all about the time of when he was caught committing murder and adultery? Was this the time when his son got ill and eventually died because of his womanizing? Was it threats from other countries, enemies that come knocking on his door, the world trying to steal his self-esteem, robbing him of who he was meant to be? That gets us, doesn't it? Ladies, I wonder how many women are here today who have ever thought or maybe even are thinking that you're not good enough in some way. It's total lies. Total lies, but it's an enemy that comes knocking on our doors. Maybe he was facing a problem so big that he couldn't see his way round it. How on earth am I going to get out of this? We don't know. But for whatever reason, this is where King David finds himself. The earth is giving way. What used to be good has become a nightmare. The ground beneath his feet is crumbling. The very things that he relied on in life are falling apart. Maybe his friends let him down. Maybe his workload was too great. Here, who here this morning was saying amen to that? His workload being too great. Maybe it was his own health. For you and for me, it can be money worries. The thing that causes us the most stress in our lives, we're told, is money, apart from moving house. What is it for you? And some troubles are easy to deal with, and I hear that. Maybe you're in a good place today, hallelujah, because that is where God wants you to be. He wants all of us to be in a good place. I have come that you might have life and have life to the full. But we know that there is a scale at work in life, and it's a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is it's just starting to get a little bit rocky in life, and 10 is the earth is giving way beneath my feet, and I'm in trouble. I wonder if you're nearer 1 this morning, or 10. A few weeks ago, I told you of the one and only time that I found myself as a married man attracted to a woman other than Julie. Nonsense, really, but at the time it was very real, and I needed a power greater than mine to step in and to help me. Because the ground was giving way beneath my feet. My integrity was crumbling. If the ground had given way, my life would have fallen. My family too. In our psalm today, David is singing praises to God because of God's victories in his life. Because the strength came. God is our refuge and our strength. You see, he knows it because he's experienced it. An ever-present help in times of trouble. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place where the Most High dwells. But it wasn't always like that for him. David writes countless psalms that cry out to God for help. Psalms that show that he goes through and went through exactly what you and I go through. Struggles and turmoil. In Psalm 4, he writes this, "Answer me when I call to you. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Strong's Concordance defines that word distress that he uses as hemmed in, vexed, in a narrow place of discomfort. And David is crying out to help, as he is sat there in that hemmed in place, in that place of vexation, in his distress. He calls to the Lord. Here's a question. Where does water flow most fiercely? Where do we see the power of water most clearly displayed? I think it's in the hemmed in places, isn't it? I think it's in the gorge, not the desert. White water rapids are found in narrow places where we're up against it in life, where we need an injection of something powerful to push through and move us on. The place where our own strength is being squeezed by the pressures of life, where the walls around us are literally coming in. And we can't find a way out. That's where God does his very best work. His very best work. Three things today about this powerful river of God. And the first thing is this, the water is unstoppable. The water is unstoppable. There's a picture coming up, I think. So this is the Verdon Gorge in France. Looks idyllic, doesn't it? And it is idyllic. We were there 19 years ago, back in the day when we were a little bit healthier and a little bit sportier. And we decided to do a bit of whitewater rafting. And I remember that it was 19 years ago because Simon was 4 years old and Julie was 6 months, coming up 7 months pregnant with Charlotte. The life jacket only just reached around her. There were signs up all over the place. If you are pregnant or of reduced mobility, do not go. In we climb. The guide was petrified. Can you imagine? The guide was petrified. I'll show you why. Here's a picture. This is what we were doing. A picture of the Verdon Gorge in the area where we went whitewater rafting. Julie had to sit in the middle of the boat. She was told she wasn't allowed to do anything. Sit still, don't move. It was fantastic. She loved it. We all loved it. We had a fantastic time. And at the end, everybody cheered her as she got out of the raft onto terra firma. But here's my point. If we go back to the original slide here, can you see how the water has carved its way through the granite rock? In the tough places is actually where the water is strongest, when it's having to carve out a pathway. Folks, that's how God works. The more difficult our life is, the stronger he becomes. Because he wants to bring us this life to the full. Because he loves us. And he doesn't want to see us struggle. It's clear that before David wrote today's psalm, he had been in a tough place. He had felt hemmed in. And he knew, as he looked at whatever it was that he faced, he knew his own strength was never going to be good enough. Never going to be strong enough. And so he cried out to God. And God came. Amen and hallelujah. Because God always comes, doesn't he? Turn to your partner and tell your partner, God comes. Turn to your partner. Tell them, God comes. Because he does. That's the truth that we live in. That's why David is singing his praises. But I can tell you this. There are a lot of people in the world who are willing to tell others about the misery that they face in their life. How hard everything is. Money, life, work. But they never hit their knees. Never cry out to God. I mean, some do pray, of course. But there are those who, even those who pray, are like the seeds that fall on the thin soil. For them, God is just one option. And if he doesn't work immediately, then they're going to turn to another option and try that. Jeannie's one of our choir members at the 9 o'clock service. She prayed for over 20 years for a blockage in her relationships to be moved. And God came and moved it. Friends, either we come to God and we welcome him in, or we stay dry and barren. I don't know if you've ever seen a rocky gorge that has no water. It's fruitless. Looks horrible, looks dreadful, dead. Compare it to the gorge where the water flows. It's lush, filled with fruit. Could be on the same mountain, but they're completely different. I wonder which one you feel that you're in this morning. Because there is a river, that's the cry of God through the writings of King David. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And that's you and me, the people of God, the church of God, is the city of God. And of course it can feel scary when we ask God to come into our valleys. Because if he's going to work, he's going to have to work like a torrent of water. It's going to have to be strong. And we can pray, Lord, I thought that this would all be smooth water, but there's nothing smooth about white water. We've just had our prayer, 24/7 week of prayer. I hope that everybody in this room came across this last week. Fantastic time. Huge thank you to Neil and Ian and Philip and all those who organised it. Really great time. And I came for one of the times when I was coming in to pray, and I saw that somebody had written this quote up here from Governor B. I don't think he can have written it himself. I'm told that he's in Las Vegas on tour at the minute. But somebody's written up a quote from him. And it says this: Lord, I don't know why I'm here, but I know that I am alive for a reason. I don't want to succumb to living a normal life and following the same old patterns. I want to live a radical, adventurous, exciting, risky, faith-filled life, walking the path that you have set out for me. Friends, that's the whitewater rapids of God that carves a path for our lives and uses the power of heaven to keep that pathway clear so that you and I can walk on it. The water is unstoppable if only we would call on the Holy Spirit to come. Number two, the water runs deep. The water runs deep. George the village idiot is walking along the river when he spots Arthur, his mate, on the other side. "Here, Arthur," he shouts across. "I'd love to walk over there." He says, "How did you get to the other side?" And Arthur shouts back, "Don't be silly, George," he says, "you are on the other side." Think what happens. Water begins to flow into the gorge. And as it flows, it erodes, doesn't it? It pushes outwards. It washes away the things that would seek to hold it back. That's King David's experience. Whatever it was that was causing the ground beneath his feet to give way, the stumbling blocks of life. So as the river flows, so it washes those things away. What does King David write? He wrote this: "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth." He means he's washed the stuff out the way that was holding me back. Have you ever sat with that verse? Last Sunday I enjoyed the celebration of Chica's ordination. In the afternoon we were wined and dined. We enjoyed music and dance. And I can look around the room and tell you there's one or two secret dancers here this morning. At one point, Chica and Joy came up to cut their cake. And their cake had an inscription on it from Jeremiah chapter 1. Their inscription was taken from verse 5. In verse 5 it says this: "Before I formed you in the womb I knew you. Before you were born, you are set apart." Friends, that is true of each and every one of us here today. We are set apart. There is a pathway for us to tread. But it's also a wonderful passage for those called into church leadership. I was given it when I came to St. Chad's Church. I was given Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 4 to 10. And they go on like this. I think you'll have the main verse come up on the screen. But it says this: "I'm putting my words in your mouth. I'm giving you everything that you will need so that you can uproot and tear down wrong kingdoms, so that you can overthrow injustice, wrong motives, poor ways of being church, in order to do," what does it say at the very bottom? Oh, he hasn't got it up there. It says at the end of it, "in order to build and to plant." That's the power of heaven, the river of God that comes sweeping down. It uproots and it overthrows anything that is not of God, anything that hurts a child of God, anything that stops you and me from being closer to God, from living life to the full as God designed us to. And the water runs deep. It erodes the rubbish from our lives. It presses out the sides that hem us in. And so further on down the river, all of a sudden, instead of us being in a place of confinement and turmoil, we find that we're in a place of peace as God fights our battles for us. So the things that torment us get uprooted and overthrown, and life calms down. And as life calms down, we calm down. No different to the picture we had of Ezekiel 47 of the river that flowed out from the temple. When it got so deep and so wide that it couldn't be crossed, we begin to see the flourishing in the plains, don't we? Then we see the fruit come. As you read Psalm 46, I don't know what you sense. I sense a peace that sweeps over King David. As David describes a God who has broken the bow and shattered the spears that were being used against him. As you see God do for you what you cannot do for yourself, that's when our faith grows. As we see him overcome these things in life. And all of a sudden we stop being afraid of the world. Stop being afraid of illness. Stop being afraid of money. Because we know that God can come and shatter the bow and the spears. It prevents us from being hemmed in as by the world as we were hemmed in before. Because God is our strength, and now the still waters run ever so deep. If God is for us, who can be against us? All because we welcome in the river of God into our lives. And as the still waters run deep, as our hearts are calmed by the peace of God, we're able to stop and see what David has actually written in this tremendously vibrant psalm. There is a river, there is a river That's singular. There is a river from heaven whose streams, that's plural, make glad the city of God. My third and my final point is not only that God's river flows for anyone who would turn to him, for you and for I, of course it does. The river flows for our healing, it flows for our well-being. But it also flows out. Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst, will never be dry and barren, will never struggle again. That, of course, is the promise. But Jesus also went on and said this, the water that he gives will well up in us, like a stream of ever-living water, welling up, unending, flowing out of. Not stagnant, not to be kept inside of us alone. Jesus is saying that the healing waters he gives to us are more than sufficient, not only to heal you and me, but to flow out from us, to heal those around us. Streams, no longer just one body of water, now many bodies of water, as his church flows out with the love of Christ. And for us that means here, the love of God flowing out across Chadwell Heath. And we're experiencing that at St. Chad's. People are being drawn to the river of God that flows from us in all sorts of ways. Monday to Saturday. People with all sorts of needs, thirsty from the struggles of life. Guys, here's the question, what must we do? In the knowledge of this, what must we do? I think the answer is we must pray it in. We must pray in the river. That's what we've been doing this week, praying it in for ourselves and for our community. In our 24/7 prayer, because we need the river of love. And I think that there are some here today who are desperately needing the white waters of God's river of love to bring relief. I think there are people here today who are facing things that are too big for them to face alone. I think there are people here today who have got stumbling blocks in their life and they don't know how to get past them. Maybe even people here today who feel that the earth beneath their feet is starting to give way. Friends, I want to tell you that God wants to come in power in your life today. We're going to have an opportunity. Christine and Chica are going to come up the front here. And they're going to have some holy oil. And we're going to do some anointing this morning. If you'd value that, then do come. Don't sit there with fear. Because God doesn't want us to be in fear for anything. And then there might be some people here who are in a good place. If you're in a good place, I'd just like to offer you this prayer. How, O Lord, will the streams flow out of me much better? How, O Lord, will the streams that you have put in me of this living water flow out onto the world around me much better? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And guys, you can stand, you can sit, you can listen, you can sing. This is your time with God. This is your time to do some business with God, to step into the river of God for the very first time. But let's together seek the river of God this morning. Let's seek the healing waters, individually and as a church. So the guys are going to just start praying, and Chica and Christine are going to be here with oil. Where are you going to be stood, guys? Are you going to be stood up here or are you going to go down? They're going to go down over into that corner over there. Somebody's put a comfy sofa there as well. If you'd value being prayed with and prayed for today, come on up. But if not, be praying how you can be a stream of living water for a wonderful God. Gideon.